Hello, friends. It's me, the president of Chickenlandia. Did you know that I have a new book that is now available for purchase? You heard that right. It's called Let's All Keep Chickens, The Down-to-Earth Guide to Natural Practices for Healthier Birds and a Happier World. It's now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and more. For more information on how you can grab your copy, just click the link in the show notes. It's so exciting, I can barely handle it. Okay, on with the show.
Welcome to Chickenlandia's 100% friendly podcast, Bok Talk. This show will help you learn all about how backyard chicken keeping can be fun, entertaining, and stress-free. Here's your host, the president of Chickenlandia!
Hello, friends. Welcome to Chickenlandia, and welcome to Bok Talk, your 100% friendly backyard chickens show. I am your host, Dahlia, also known as the president of Chickenlandia. I'm a backyard chicken educator that has found peace and joy in the chicken yard, and it's my mission to help you find that too. Welcome back, everyone. Today is episode 16 of season 5. Today we are going to talk about everything you need to take care of baby chicks, including some emergency and some optional items that you may not have thought of. I have a listener question that was submitted through my website, so I'm going to chat a little bit about baby chicks and what they need. Then I'm going to answer that question, and then I will open up the chat here live on YouTube for questions. If you want to submit a question to Bok Talk, all you have to do is go to welcometochickenlandia.com. Go to the contact section, and while you're there, you're going to want to join the mailing list, Chickenlandia Nation. It is the greatest mailing list across the multiverses. I know that for sure. I will send you a discount for my online course. It's called Chickenlandia's Backyard Chickens 101, a chicken course for everyone. It's my super fun, interactive course. It's a great way to get direct access to me because I cannot answer every single email I get. I really can't. And I got a lot of emails this week and I'm like, oh, I can't answer all these emails. I just don't. I have to prioritize who I respond directly to. So I do prioritize my course students. I try to get back to people within about 24 to 48 hours, unless it's like a holiday or something. Yeah. And then the Chickenlandia presidential advisor who is in the chat right now, she is my co-instructor, so you can ask both of us questions. It's a great course. I'm super proud of it, and I hope to see you there. Before I move on, I need to make two announcements because I have to pay the chicken bills. It's summer. We want to go on vacation. I don't want to spend all my money on these chickens, so I need to let you know. As always, this podcast was brought to you by the folks at My Favorite Chicken. My Favorite Chicken is my favorite online shop to get my feed. I get my non-GMO, organic, and socially responsible scratch and peck feed from there. I get my chicken supplies, my fun chicken things, my fun chicken treats. All of that I get from My Favorite Chicken. I will leave a link for you in the show notes with a coupon code. This podcast was also brought to you by the folks at Small Pet Select. Small Pet Select is a small local company to me, and they have an online store that I know you're just going to love if you go check it out. They have so many chicken products. They've got pea flakes for chickens. My chickens love that. It's like potato chips for chickens. they have organic pine shavings. They've got pet greens, which are sprouts that you can grow for chickens in a super easy and fun way, and flaked oyster shell, among many other things. You can check these out and their other products by clicking the link in the show notes. There is a coupon code for you. And they also have fun things for rabbits and chinchillas and other fuzzy animals if you have those. Okay, so let's just get right into it. I do have to say, I get a lot of messages from people every baby chick season. These are from people that have gone to the farm store. They have had a compulsive episode where they bought baby chicks and they got home and they didn't have anything that they needed. And that is not a great situation. I totally get it. Baby chicks are hard to resist. But we don't want to put them in that situation because they can be very vulnerable, especially having likely gone through the mail at that point. And then they're at the farm store and then they had a car ride, all that stuff. They really need to get everything that they need as soon as they get home to you. Okay. So that's why I wanted to record this podcast. Even if you listen to it on the way home from the farm store and you stop and buy all your supplies, or you listen to it at the farm store and buy all your supplies, that is a better situation than coming home and not having everything you need. Okay. Now, I always say when it comes to caring for baby chicks, really the best way to think about it, even in terms of what they need, is to think like a mother hen, because essentially, that's what you are being when you're taking care of baby chicks. So let's think first and foremost about all the ways that Mama Hen cares for her babies. So number one, Mother Hen is going to provide shelter for her babies. She's going to do it with her body. She's going to do it by leading them to safe places where they won't be a victim of predation or other dangers. And you need to do this by providing a safe brooder environment for them, okay? And this can be one of those large plastic tubs, you know, that like a storage tub. I see a lot of people starting with baby chicks in this tub. But one thing you need to understand is that they are likely going to grow out of it very quickly. I'm talking like maybe 2 or 3 weeks they're going to grow out of that tub, depending on how big it is. Some of them are really big, but if it's like the standard size, one of those tubs, they will grow out of it very quickly. And if, even if you have like, let's say you have three little Sarama babies and they're in this tub and they can grow out completely in there, you're still going to need to put a lid over it. So you have to think ahead and remember that, baby chicks, at some point they learn how to fly and they can't like take off and fly south, but they can fly enough to where they can get out of the brooder. And if they do that, they can get into trouble or they can actually get really chilled and it might not be a good situation. So just remember that at some point you've got to prevent them from flying out of the brooder. The first brooder box that I had was a galvanized metal, like one of those stock tanks. It's like for feeding horses or cows. This is a really great brooder to start with. And usually it's big enough that they can grow out in it all the way to the point that, to where they're ready to go outside, depending on how many baby chicks you have. It's sturdy. It's less of a fire hazard than other brooders. This is another one where you're still going to need a lid, even though, even if you have like one of the really deep ones, you're still going to need a lid for it. After I used the galvanized tubs, I graduated to guinea pig cages. And that's actually my favorite brooder for baby chicks because it's already enclosed. You can get a nice big one. You can grow them out fully in it. The only thing I would think about is that you have to be mindful of drafts. So it's not, you know, since it's a cage, it's not like it doesn't have solid sides. You have to remember that baby chicks, you just don't want them to get chilled. So be mindful of that. Make sure that the ambient temperature is not too cold for them. Okay. The other thing that Mama Hen will do is supply warmth. Like literally with her body, she supplies warmth for those baby chicks. And baby chicks need that in order to stay alive. Baby chicks can stay at exactly the right temperature by staying near their mother hen and then just going under her when needed. You know, you could get a thermometer for, and a lot of people ask me about this. They're like, I've got a thermometer. What's the temperature need? What does the temperature need to be in the brooder? Because we're going to talk about heat lamps and radiant brooders here in a second. I have never used a thermometer with baby chicks. Okay. And way back in the day when I had a farm store, which I will never do again. I did. I was part owner of a farm store. I will never do that again. But I did do it at one point, and we had baby chicks. And the way, you know, there we did not use thermometers. So from the very beginning, the way I was taught was to pay attention to the chick's behavior. And that's how you know whether or not they're too warm or too cold or just right. Okay. So if they are all gathered up along the sides of the brooder and they're looking lethargic, maybe they have their mouths open, they're panting, that means, and they're trying to like physically get away from the heat, they are too hot. Okay. If they're all piled up underneath the lamp and they're kind of, or under the radiant brooder, and they're kind of getting on top of each other and they're peeping loudly, that means that they're too cold. Okay. So you either need to lower the radiant brooder or you need to lower the lamp. If it's too hot, you need to raise the lamp. Okay. They really should just be walking around the brooder. Some of them, you know, they'll be pecking and scratching. Some of them will be eating. Some of them will be under the lamp or the radiant heater and sleeping. You just want to have a calm feeling in their brooder environment. And you might hear them peep a little bit. Every once in a while, they might peep kind of loud. Go and see how they're doing. Make sure that they calm down. But if they're like peeping the whole time and there's kind of this feeling of urgency, or if they're really lethargic the whole time, that probably means your temperature is off. So you need to adjust it according to what you are physically seeing. Okay. Instead of like just going by the thermometer, I think it's just better to go by their behavior. Okay. So speaking of heat, we just talked about you're going to need a heat lamp or you're going to need a radiant brooder or some other source of heat. For the two most popular ways to offer heat to baby chicks are with a heat lamp or a radiant brooder. So for the heat lamp, I would go with a red one to, you know, for less stress, because a white light, they really never get like calm hours. With a red light, at least it can get darker and there, you know, kind of glows and there's just more of a warm feeling. But with the white light, they never have that chance to relax. So I really recommend going with a red heat lamp and rather than a white lamp. But even better than that, although it is more expensive, would be like a radiant brooder panel. Okay. And basically what that is, I call it like a mechanical hen. Brincy has one. Those are the ones that I've always used. They did not sponsor this episode, but Brincy, if you're listening, I'm here. but I use the Brincy ones. And basically, like, it's got a panel on it. It's on four legs. You can adjust the four legs. So you want to start out kind of low so that baby chicks can get underneath it and they warm up their little backs. And that's, they can like run underneath it, run out of it, go eat, come back. It's more of a natural experience for baby chicks. And also they will get night and day with that, because it's more natural. It's not a light on them all the time. So like I said, they are more expensive. They're better quality really than a heat lamp. Heat lamps are cheap, but they're also cheap quality. And heat lamps do pose a fire danger. There's no getting around that. They are a fire hazard. If you are using one, please secure it and then secure it again and then secure it again. Because if they fall, especially if you're using shavings, it can ignite and you could burn your house down. Like, you could burn your coop down, but you could burn your house down, which would not be great. And what else was I going to say? Oh, and if it gets dirty, like if it's just dusty, and baby chicks generate a ton of dust. So remember that. If you have asthma and allergies, you have to stay on top of that because they really do generate a ton of dust. If that dust collects too much on the heat lamp, literally that dust can ignite. Okay, so stay on top of that too. Keep it clean and secure it really well. Okay, let's talk about bedding, because you know Mama Hen is going to keep baby chicks nice and cozy all the time. She's going to make sure that they're comfortable. I like to start out not with shavings or pellets or straw or anything. I actually start my baby chicks out on either paper towels, a very thin old towel without strings on it or like heavy fragrance, or puppy pads. And the reason I do that is because when they're very small, really when they come out of the egg, it's so important for them to get good traction on their feet. Sometimes baby chicks can come out of the egg with malformed feet or not fully developed legs and leg muscles, and so they have something called splayed legs. Sometimes it can happen after they hatch, like they'll come out healthy, but after they hatch, they don't have enough traction. And so they can get, like, they really need to develop that strength in their legs. And if you think about it, as soon as they're like fluffy, they're like pecking and scratching. They're like walking around like itty bitty tiny chickens. But they need to do that because they need to develop that strength in their legs. So you want to make sure that they have good traction. The other thing is you want them, as soon as you bring them home from wherever you got them, they need to find food and water very quickly. And the nifty thing about paper towels or a flat old towel or puppy pads is that you can take their feed and just sprinkle it around the brooder. And you can take their grit and sprinkle that around the brooder too. Okay, we're going to talk about grit in a minute. But that way, it really kind of activates that pecking and scratching instinct, which is good for them. You want to activate their instincts. You want to get them looking for food, being curious, and really working on surviving, okay? So they can find their food really quickly. And then you also want to put food in their feeder as well, okay? So that's the reason why I start them on something flat but with good traction, like paper towels, and it can be a couple layers of paper towels, puppy pads, or an old towel. After a few days, when they're all thriving and doing well, you can switch over to shavings or pine pellets. So you can do pine shavings, you can do aspen shavings, you can do pine pellets, you can do hemp. I talked a little bit about bedding in the last episode that I did. So if you want to hear my thoughts on bedding, you can listen to that episode. So I think it's episode 15. So, yeah, but if you have like tiny bantams, I guess you could keep them on paper towels or puppy pads or an old towel. But, usually chickens will tear that apart. Like once they get past a certain age, they will just destroy it. So that can get kind of messy. So keep that in mind. Obviously, you need a feeder and waterer. You know, Mother Hen is going to lead her baby chicks to food and water. She's going to show them where it is. You need to supply your chicks with a container for water and a container for feed. You can use like bowls that aren't going to tip over, little bowls. There is a drowning risk for baby chicks if they're drinking out of a bowl. And even if they have, a gravity, like a quart size gravity feeder that you bought at the store that's specifically for baby chicks. So because of that, I will take clean marbles or clean rocks, smooth rocks, and I will put those in the waterer, like at the base of the water for you if you're using one of those gravity waterers, or I'll put them in the bowl. And that way, I will literally like fill it with rocks, and then the water will come up through the rock so they can take a sip out of it, or the marbles. So they can take sips out of it, but they can't immerse themselves in the water, which they will, for whatever reason, do sometimes without the direction of a mother hen. They might do that. And they can't get chilled or drown. Okay. And also it will keep it nice and heavy so that they don't tip over. Okay. Feed, you can put in a bowl or you can put it on a Frisbee or whatever, but they're going to waste, as much as if they can peck and scratch in it, they're going to waste a lot of it. So you got to kind of weigh that. So grit. And you know, when you sprinkle the feed around the brooder, you also want to put it in the feeder. Okay. So that they learn, oh, there's feed everywhere, but there's also feed in the feeder. And eventually you don't have to sprinkle the feed around. Okay. All right. So grit. I really recommend using grit for chicks from the start. Sometimes if you go to the farm store and you get all your supplies, the worker there will tell you, oh, you don't need grit. Or someone online might tell you, you don't need grit if you're feeding baby chicks, just if they're just getting their starter. First of all, I don't think that they should only get their starter, because, you know, in a natural environment, they would be getting a variety of things. You do want their starter feed to be the base of their diet, but they, you know, if a bug gets into their brooder environment, they're going to chase it down and eat it. And they need grit in order to, you know, it serves a very important part of their digestion. It goes into their gizzard and it helps to chew up their feed and whatever else they eat. So I really recommend getting it from the beginning. Like I said, you can sprinkle it around their brooder. You can also put a teaspoon of it, mix it in with their feed and put that in their feeder. It's basically coarse sand. Like chick grit is coarse sand. So if you find like clean river sand without anything else in it, like natural river sand, you could use that as well. And of course, so let's talk about, like, those are all the things that you 100% need if you're raising baby chicks inside, okay? If you have them in an artificial brooder. There are some optional things you could think about if you want to, okay? Because it's fun. Treats are fun, okay? I really like to give baby chicks, actually right when they come home, I will take a hard-boiled egg yolk and I will crumble that up, a little bit of it up, depending on how many chicks you have, and I will sprinkle that around the brooder. And people will go, oh my gosh, you know, you're turning them into cannibals like at the beginning. But you're really not. What you're doing is you're giving them some of the nutrition that they had in the egg. So that's a good boost for them when they come home, and it can encourage them to eat. Of course, you can give them grubs. You can give them mealworms. It's super funny to give them either one of those because they grab it and run around. As soon as they figure out what it is, they run around with it and everyone's chasing everybody. You can give them plain whole milk yogurt, like with no kind of sweeteners, with no additives in it, no kind of flavoring, just plain, and not the non-fat kind, the whole milk kind, full fat. So plain whole milk yogurt, you can give them a little bit of that, okay? And then also you can give them just things like leafy greens to play with. You can give them a clump of dirt with grass in it from the outside to play with. Things that are like treats for them. They don't absolutely have to have it, but these are really good things for them for enrichment. And also when you're giving them a clump of dirt and grass from outside, you are allowing them to get gradual exposure to the things that are outside. Okay. Because you don't want their first exposure to the outside to happen when they're 8 weeks old. You do not want that. Okay. And I know some people will say that that's what you need to do, but really you're kind of robbing them of that time to develop resistance to the things in their natural environment. Okay. So I really recommend the other thing, and this is not like a supply or anything that you need, but one thing that you can do is take your baby chicks outside on little field trips. Make sure that you stay with them. Make sure that they're safe. Make sure that they're contained. You don't want them to get eaten by a cat when they're outside. You don't want them to get chilled when they're outside. So you have to pay attention to their behavior. But it is so good for them to get exposure to the outside because they really need that. Okay. So some other optional and emergency items: electrolytes, vitamins, and probiotics. You can get like packs of that, like I think one of them is like called Save a Chick, or just packs of electrolytes and vitamins and probiotics, or you can get like a package of it from the farm store. I also have an electrolyte recipe that's a homemade recipe, and I have that on my YouTube channel. I will leave a link for that in the show notes. I give them electrolytes when they get home. I usually do that for a week or two. After that period, if they are all thriving, I will switch them over to apple cider vinegar, and that is just 1 teaspoon per quart of water. So if you have one of those baby chick waterers, they're usually like a quart size. That would be 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. And you can actually, if you don't have electrolytes or you don't want to do that, you can start them on apple cider vinegar from the time that they get home. Okay. And that is something that is going to be good for them through their whole life. There are studies that show that apple cider vinegar can help to prevent coccidiosis, which is a very common disease that baby chicks and chickens can get, but it's more baby chicks that get it, you know, and it can be fatal for them, definitely. So that will help. So yeah, those are two things that are optional, but if you can do them, then it's great. Another thing that is optional is either a pre-packaged herbal supplement. I know Scratch and Pick has one. It's great. It's called Cluckin' Good Herbs, and it's got a whole bunch of different herbs in it. It's got garlic. Garlic is a vegetable, but it's like both. it's got oregano and thyme and a whole bunch of other good things in it. If you don't want to buy anything that's pre-packaged, you can find this in your spice cabinet, oregano and thyme. And those two herbs are so good for your chickens throughout their life. So you can sprinkle a little bit around in the brooder. If you have it growing, you can give it to them fresh. You know, you can give them like twigs of it, or you can dry it and sprinkle it around the brooder. You can give them that or the prepackaged herbs, at least the Scratch and Pick one, I know for sure. You can give them that right when they come home and just sprinkle it around the brooder. And they might not eat it right away, but it is really good enrichment for them. And it's they're nice. Like they are somewhat aromatic as well. So it's good for them to have that. And then garlic, you can also take like a quarter clove of garlic per quart of water, and you can put that in your chick's water. And I would do that. You can do it with apple cider vinegar or the electrolyte water. Just make sure that they're drinking. If the garlic turns them off from their water, then it's more important for them to drink than to have garlic. Okay. Another thing that is super handy to have, I really love it. It is a flower remedy. It's from a company called Bach Flower Remedies. I am not sponsored by them. Again, Bach, if you're listening, I'm here because I sure do talk about you a lot. they have a combination remedy called Rescue Remedy, and it's basically like flower essences are a lot like homeopathics. I am not talking about essential oils. That is not what I'm talking about. A lot of times when I talk about flower essences, people will go, "Yo, you shouldn't give your baby chicks essential oils, or you shouldn't give your chickens essential oils." I'm not talking about putting essential oils in your chicken's water. I am talking about flower essences, which are very different. They are not, it's not like an herbal supplement. It's very close to a homeopathic, which is basically like energy medicine, for lack of a better way to describe it. Okay. But Rescue Remedy helps with stress. I like to put a couple drops in their water when they come home. You can do it every day if you want to. And they have Rescue Remedy for pets. Or you can put a little, like if you have to do something, if you have to pick up a baby chick and treat it for like pasty butt or something, which is like a collection of fecal matter they get over their vents and it needs to be treated. They won't like it when they're getting treated for that. They're going to be like, "Ooh, I don't like this." But you can take a little drop of Rescue Remedy and put it on their back, and rub it into their back. Or you can take a drop of Rescue Remedy and put it in like a little lid of a jar or a tiny bowl with a tiny little bit of water in it, and you can put their feet in it and let them kind of soak it up that way. And that will help them to calm down. So that's why I really like to have that. Some emergency items would be NutriDrench, which is a concentrated vitamin for baby chicks and chickens. It's really good if you've got some kind of nutritional deficiency going on. Okay. So if your baby chick has something like splayed leg or curled toes, I would have them on NutriDrench very quickly. And then, you know, you can also use it for other things like starve out. Starve out is basically like failure to thrive for baby chicks. Like if you have a baby chick that is just looking really lethargic, she's not eating or drinking, that's a really sad situation, and that baby chick is in danger of dying. Sometimes there's really nothing you can do, but you could supplement with NutriDrench. The other thing that you can do is I have a formula that it's like the baby chick protocol or something, sick chick protocol. It's in my book, and I do have a video about that. I'll leave that in the show notes, a link to that in the show notes. But for that, to make that formula, you need green tea, and I'm not matcha, but like a green tea with like a solid tea bag, like not a mesh tea bag. So you don't want there to be like particles in the tea, if that makes sense. Just plain green tea, electrolytes, and an egg yolk and a needleless syringe. Okay. And also you need like a mug to put it in. So that's how I make my little formula for a chick that's struggling. I use those ingredients, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing right now, but I will put a link to the video where I explain about that in the show notes. And if you have my book, it's in there. Or if you've taken my course, it's in the course. Okay. You might also want to invest in a blow dryer that has a low setting. And the reason I'm telling you this is that it can be useful if a baby chick gets chilled for some reason, if they get like, you know, if they immerse themselves in the waterer, it can be helpful to blow dry them, gently blow dry them in a low setting, you know, from far away. That would be really helpful. Or if you have to treat them for pasty butt. Okay. And to treat a baby chick for pasty butt, you either have to like run them under some gentle warm water to work the fecal material off from around their vent very gently. You never want to pull it off. Or get a wet paper towel with warm water and gently work it off that way. But if they're left wet afterwards, dry them off. And then if you can use a blow dryer on the lowest setting, that will help. And then put them right underneath the heat. Okay. I have a video about pasty butt as well. I'll put that in the show notes. And that is really like, that's a lot of what you need to know and what you need to have for when you get baby chicks. Okay. I hope that was helpful. On that note, I want to move on to the listener question. We'll answer that, and then we'll go right into the chat to answer some questions here live on YouTube. So today, my listener question is from LaDonna. And LaDonna says, your YouTube just came up on my iPad, and I'm so relieved. That's great. My husband and I have fallen in love with our Australorps, who are now 6 weeks old. We took them outside into their new coop and run yesterday. The weather is in the 70s and 45 at night. We sat up with them last night, all night in the dark because I'm not laughing at you, LaDonna. I'm just, you know, this is just like chicken life, you know, because not one chicken would go into the coop. Okay. I just knew they would catch a cold or worse, pneumonia. So help, please. How do we get them to go into the coop? Catching them and literally putting them inside the coop will be a trial, as we are in our 70s. Their run is 3 to 4 feet tall. Once inside the run, we'll have to call for help to get out of it. So LaDonna, thank you very much for making me laugh. This is a very common issue.
for new chicken keepers. So they get their baby chicks. Baby chicks are ready to go outside. If it's getting 45 at night, you could bring them in at night for the first, few days while you're getting them acclimated. But Australorps are really cold hardy, so they'll probably be fine. But, you know, usually I say if it's getting under 50, you need to acclimate them to the outside. But Australorps, yeah, they're very cold hardy. So here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to stay up all night. I don't. If they had mother hen to show them where to go at night, she would show them. She would lead them up to the roost. And in fact, if you let a mother hen raise her baby chicks, sometimes you'll find the baby chicks are on the roost next to the mother hen, literally like, you know, underneath her, but up on the roost. Okay. Without mother hen, it's tougher because they can kind of not know what to do at night, but they do have that instinct to roost. So don't despair. They are going to learn very quickly. What you're going to do is wait for them to go to sleep, you know, wait for them to like find a little spot where they're resting at night, and then take them one by one after they're already resting. They're kind of in that comatose state, so they're not like running around or anything, and it's not too hard to grab them. Get that you, I guess you would, it might have to go into the run because they're probably going to be in the run, you know, on the ground. So, you know, maybe you can use something to get them out of there, but, or employ a younger person to get them out of there, but just get them out and put them where you want them to sleep at night, which will be up on the roost. And you might have to do that 3 or 4 times, but they will get the hang of it. And certainly when they wake up in the morning and they see where they are, it's just going to feel like that's what they're supposed to be doing because that is their instinct to do that. So it's kind of a pain. This is very, very common. People put their baby chicks outside. They're ready to be outside, but at nighttime, they're just like all huddled underneath the coop, or they're huddled in the, you know, underneath a bush or in a corner somewhere. You don't want that. Go and get them, put them on the roost, be their mother hen, show them where they need to sleep, and they are going to do absolutely fine. Okay, LaDonna, I hope that helped. I hope if you go into the run, you will be able to get back out of it. And, you know, I understand that. Okay, I am going to open up the chat for questions. So that Animal Channel asks, I have a Colombian rock hen struggling, but fighting. She's lethargic. I gave her electrolytes today and meds for the third day. Praying she gets better. How long do they take to bounce back if they will? Well, that really depends on what they have going on. Unfortunately, I have no way of knowing what's going on with her. It could be so many different things. I mean, chickens really kind of present illness a lot of times in a very similar way, no matter what it is. Like they kind of just get listless, they're lethargic, their wings are droopy, and they just don't want to eat or drink. And so it's super hard to tell. Like that could be an internal infection, could be some kind of disease going on. It's really, really hard to tell. I would think that, you know, within a few days, hopefully she will turn around, but for something like that, if she's not improving, it could be that she needs some veterinary care, like antibiotics. You know, sometimes that's the only thing that's going to help them to turn it around. So that is definitely something that to consider if you can swing it. I know a lot of people, not only, you know, maybe they just can't afford to take their chickens to the vet, or they just don't have chicken vets where they are. It's not even an option, even if they could afford it. So you could give her colloidal silver. You can either look up the dosage for parrots and give her that. Sometimes people will just replace their water with colloidal silver. That can get pretty expensive, but that is something that people do. Oil of oregano is another option. One drop per gallon of water is all you need for that. It's very, you know, you want it to be super duper diluted. That's kind of a natural antibiotic. But yeah, I hope she gets better. I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's hard to say like what she's got going on and how long it will take. I mean, I've heard of some pretty crazy stories. I've heard of people just like, you know, it took weeks and their chickens got better. So it really depends on what she's got going on, but I hope she does get better. So Whitney Hoffman asks, I have a broody hen who's due to hatch her eggs Friday. How do I know if she rejects them? You need to, when it's the time for her to hatch out her baby chicks, you need to observe her, especially if she's a first time mother, to make sure that everything is going okay. Usually they are absolutely fine. Chickens are just really good moms. Like they have very strong instincts, you know, mother hen, just to think of a mother hen, you just think of a mama, you know? So I would, you know, whenever it's time for them to hatch, keep an eye on them. Don't mess with her a lot. You know, don't like be moving the eggs or lifting her up and all that stuff. But keep an eye on her. Make sure that she is mothering the chickens and that she's not rejecting them. That's the only way that you can know if you observe them. Sandra asks, what do you do about spurs? It depends. Like if they're, you know, I have hens that have spurs. I've got one like little rumpless hen. She's actually she needs to go to the vet tomorrow. That has like massive spurs and she's tiny. She's got these massive spurs, but I don't do anything because they're not, you know, she's not attacking anybody. They're not like growing into her legs or anything like that. I know that probably the most humane way to deal with them, like if you're having problems with them, either they're growing, sometimes they can grow so much that they actually physically grow back into the leg of the chicken. Usually it's a rooster. Or if the rooster is attacking everybody and it's just like, oh my gosh, these spurs. If you want to file them down, that's probably the best thing to do. And you can use a Dremel to do that, like one of those. And they have them for pets, like gently file it down would be best. And you can like kind of just smooth it down. I know some people will pull them off. It does seem like that might be painful for them. So probably if it were me, I would just Dremel them down. And then I believe that you need to be sure not to Dremel them down so far that they start to bleed. Sequoia asks, what's the best thing for a duck to brood her eggs in? You know, if you have like, a nest, like if she has a nice place to nest, if you can secure it, if you need to keep her away from the rest of the flock, you can do that. But just any place that is like safe from predators. And if you feel like you need to keep her away from the flock, at least for the first few days to make sure that they're not going to attack the babies, then, you know, you could keep her separate, but still able to see the rest of the flock. That would be the best place for her to brood her eggs. So I want to say, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you to my moderator and co-producer, Kelsey Paulus, also known as the Chickenlandia Presidential Advisor. Thank you to Talking to Crows for editing this episode and to Double M Ranch for their wonderful podcast art. If you enjoyed this podcast, remember to rate and review it. But the main thing I want you to remember is that you are always welcome in Chickenlandia.
Dalia Monterosso, also known as the President of Chickenlandia, is a backyard chicken educator in Northwest Washington. To submit your question to Bok Talk, visit welcometochickenlandia.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye!